and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 412. How are we all doing? Let me get into the chat in my shiny new Vivaldi. Updated yesterday. It's fabulous. Loving it.
Oh, Johnny, love my infographics. Thank you, Johnny.
This was Horngate, wasn't it? Don't touch the horn.
And you sent him to sleep.
Did I really?
He says so. Rock of I, Johnny, on the treetop.
Oh, dear. Is this because it's soothing, Jonathan? Or is it? Are you being disparaging? Did you read the chat while you were watching? There was lots of chat about you. You've got a fan club. And they were all cheering you on. And then it was, is Johnny still awake? You're like, no. No, he's gone.
I've got a fan club. Well, Bob's got a fan club.
Oh, yeah, Bob has, Bob, hasn't he? Yeah, Bob.
Bob the trainer.
Whoever Bob is. Anyway, Jonathan's in first tonight, so congratulations, Jonathan. Oh, dear. Hello, Renee. Hello, right. Deb. Deb feels really old today. Oh, is it Deb's birthday? Is it your birthday, Deb? Have I missed something? Oh, let me know. Or is it just you're exhausted with something? Oh, Jonathan loves us both. I think it was about 10:55. I'll go back and I'll check what was happening at 10:55 that made you unconscious. Oh, we had a blast with that one. That was fun. Oh, is it gherkins, Jonathan? This is the number one question. Every time Jonathan mentions food, my next question is gherkins. Just because. Oh, congratulations, Tim. Why did I not know about this? Oh, hang on. We have something in that on that basis. Where's it disappeared to? There it is. Birthday to Deb. Oh, how fantastic. So, did you get anything nice? What age is it? Oh, no, I shouldn't ask, should I, what age an official senior is? In this country, it tends to be 65. But that was when people used to retire at 65, and then they don't really anymore. You just carry on till you drop over here. 23rd birthday. Are you a senior at 23, Jonathan? Young Jonathan. Young Mr. Grace. I'm going backwards now. I decided that. Joe, I always remember. Now, how old was I? But she made a snarky comment at my 21st birthday. Bearing in mind, on my 21st birthday, I was still at university. But on my 24th birthday, I think it was, my aunt said to me, she gave me a card from her husband and my cousin. You know, happy birthday, Elaine. And then said to me, and I honestly quote this, you're officially on the shelf now, you know. I was 24. 65 official. Knocking on the door. Well, it's better than the alternative, Deb, isn't it? And anyway, anything in the 60s is the new 30s as far as I'm concerned. So that makes Jonathan about 3. Seriously, in my day, I look back and I see people that were like, oh, they're 38. And I remember my mum, she went into hospital and I must have been... I think I was 8. So she was 39. And I remember the thing they put on your hand with your date of birth on. Right, I wanted to play with it when she'd come home. And she said, well, you can. And it was like a piece of paper inside a plastic thing, strap, you put on your wrist. She said, but just a minute. And she cut off the 9 next to the 30. Now, what I did was I told Facebook I was 10 years younger than I was. So when it came to my birthday, Facebook thought I was 40, which I was quite happy with. Sadly, all my friends knew I was 50. It was all over Facebook. Anyway, a couple of years later, you know, you get this on this day. So I get this on this day reminder. This must have been when I was 52. And I reposted it and I put, that was one heck of a party. Right. And it was all these gifts and stuff lined up. And Kath didn't know me when it was my 50th, which was 2017. So she's looking at these pickies, and it was the first time she'd seen them. So on the desk, there's all these stuff, this stuff. Some of it was from Ann Summers, so it's very interesting. They were stress balls, but if I tell you they were from Ann Summers, you'll get the idea. So all this stuff was on the desk, and there was balloons and there was cards, and they all said 50 on it. And Kath came back and she said, "You're not 50, are you? Should have thought you were 40. You know, so if I was 40 on that birthday, the one that where I reposted it, that would have made me younger than her daughter. Yeah, but my friends like the cat out of the bag. So I'm right. I swear, 50 is the new 20, and I'm quite happy with that. I don't intend to not party and act silly anytime soon. So age is just a number. Forget about it. Oh. Deb says, when they put your name and age down at the hospital and say, we have an age, and then say, we have an age of me, I look round and say, who's that woman? Well, I guess I do. I do when people treat you as old, because I don't feel old. But I do have much more of an understanding of how my mum must have felt. I remember when I got to 29, it's like, I'm not sure I really want to be 30. She said at 54. No, 53. No, 54 next month. Oh, God, no, this month. Oh, no, it's only a couple of weeks away. I'm old enough to be Jonathan's big sister, you know. Let's leave it there. In my mind, I'm not. I still think, like, when we, Mike and I have been together 29 years, and the first summer we were together, a friend of his who'd done the old, I'm going to take a year out. Luckily, it was after university and not before. Reason why will become apparent. So he heads off to Australia for, like, backpacking. And he came back that summer. So that was, he'd done his years backpacking. Brought a souvenir back with him. A pregnant lady that later became his wife, and they had a kid. So they're the same age we are, and they are parents to a 29-year-old. I mean, in my head, that's never going, that the maths of that is never going to work. It's just not. So when we see people, and it's like the things that they talk about, people that we knew from years ago, every one of them, I think, has got like a gaggle of kids. And it's like, oh, the price of universities these days. And you're like, yeah, whatever. I just feel like I'm still 20. Tony's 6 months behind me. It's fine where I am, Tony. Don't worry about that. It's going to be fine. I'm just working backwards. So Facebook now officially think I'm in my 40s, which is interesting with the stuff that I get. Can't wait to see what I get down the line. I mean, there's such assumptions, isn't there? That, you know, if you are, say, 60, you're turning 60. Oh, you must want bobbly slippers and fingerless gloves. No, I want dancing shoes and a frock. It's just marketing, honestly, selling stuff and marketing stuff is spawn of the devil, the assumptions they make. Right, how are we doing here? Break out the hard liquor and shot glasses. Oh, nice one, Dee. Oh, you like Danny. Danny's a favourite, is he? Didn't one of them have 5,000 and odd calories in, which is just amazing? Oh, anyway, last night, hot on the heels of the information that I got from Sarah about where I can go and watch the, what was it called? Viewpoint, the Viewpoint thing. And it was only available on ITV Hub. That annoyed me. You can't skip the ads. There's no way to skip the ads. But I thought last night after the show, I thought, right, I'm going to have to watch this now. It didn't get any better. Let's put it like that. It did not get any better. Have you seen it yet, Tony? In fact, there's a huge, huge parallel between the entire series, once you've seen the last episode, and Line of Duty. And I'm like, really? Oh, what's black pudding? Black pudding is gorgeous. It's spicy, but it's made up of animal blood that makes it black. There are different kinds of it. So there's a Lancashire black pudding. There'll be a southern black pudding. But it is... We might have to look that up and see what's in the Lancashire one, because I think that's the one that I eat the most. It's an acquired taste. I guess think of it as... Haggis. Some people will and some people won't based on what's in it. Right. A Lancashire black pudding. And let's see what's actually in it. Probably never eat it again. Having said that, we're planning to have it tomorrow. The Real Lancashire Black Pudding Company. And let's have a look. Yes, there it is, black pudding. So what's it? What is black pudding? Oh, how perfect. There we go. There's a link for Kim. The entire history of black pudding. It's very tasty. It's very spicy. Not in a chilly kind of way, in a kind of rich kind of way. It's nice. I like it. Danny loves black pudding. Yeah, I can imagine because it's got a flavour to it. Some things like beans, not much of a flavour, even hash browns, unless they're done absolutely perfectly. But black pudding has a definite flavour to it, a spicy flavour. A rich, warm, spicy flavour is how I describe it. When hubby turned 50, Deb says I made him a black cake with a tombstone on top of it. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Yes, that's what I said, Dee. Black pudding does definitely contain blood. So it contains the animal blood. And I think that's what makes it dark. Some has like... best way to describe it. Like globules of fat in it that you can actually see. So uncooked, if you sliced it into slices, it tends to come like a sausage. Sometimes it's bent round. And there's a few ways to cook it, but the traditional way, if you're having it with a breakfast, will be to slice it into slices and then fry it with the rest of it. Hence the term fry up, but meaning a breakfast. But some of it, when you look at it uncooked, there's quite like large bits that are whitish, that are just fat. Other ones, much less so. So you could go in and buy a black pudding and it tastes nothing like the one you had last week if it was a different style of black pudding. So the ones I like are, well, we like to get everything from Bury Market. Bury is a town about 20 miles away, real northern town. And the stuff you get there is way better quality than you would ever get in a supermarket. But obviously, I don't know, I'd imagine the market could be decimated by now because they've not been able to trade. Even though it's outdoors, they've not been able to trade, whereas the supermarkets were. So I don't know what's going to be left of it now, but the food up there is amazing. Oh, Tony's caught up, and Mrs. Tony guessed the killer from the first one. Shouldn't trust her more, as it could have saved four nights of wasted viewing. I've got to agree. Oh, we're having a new dentist stick. Oh, look!
Do you want these first?
Oh, Lola, what have we got?
She wants a tripe stick first.
She wants a tripe stick. She doesn't want the dentist stick until she's had the tripe stick. She's a lady who knows her own mind, let's put it like that. No, I've got to agree, Tony. There was so much smoke and mirrors. And I'd actually said to Mike, there's no way they'd cast Catherine, is it Tilsley?
Yeah.
And not have something to do with it. And the one that you're talking about, with the one that, whose name shall not be uttered, because now the police are after him. the main actor. Oh, good grief. He couldn't make this thing up. She'd won awards for stuff. So I thought, well, we're not going to have her in it either, unless she's up to mischief. But the bit that got me was, and Kim's already seen this in Line of Duty.
I want a dentist stick now.
Right, off you toddle with it.
Good girl.
You know in season one, Kim, where Tony was in like an old brick warehouse and there was a freezer and somebody was living in the freezer? That was basically the punchline on this. And I thought, you know what? That entire thing was five episodes building up to that. And I was thinking to myself, that was like 30 seconds in Line of Duty and they moved on. Line of Duty is just running at an entirely different speed to everything else. So, no, I don't think, well, here's hoping that doesn't get made into another series. Mind you, I think it was his company, wasn't it, that did it. So there's no chance of it being made in. To anything else again. Bye-bye. Shut the door on your way out. As you know, it's shocking if he's innocent. But seeing as though he's apologised and now he's seeking therapy, that's another standard, isn't it? If you are caught out with your hand in the cookie jar, go for therapy. Whereas, you know, what about the victims in all this? Let's just lock you up and throw the key away.
Gherkins! I'm just catching up.
Oh, wow.
Gherkins.
Dee started supporting Jonathan last night. Oh, and then Dee fell asleep. Oh, no. Jonathan, you're an influencer boy. Oh, wow. Black pudding and white pudding in Slovakia. Different class. Really nice compared to ours. I've not tried that. Oh, might need to try that one.
That's where Mrs. Tony's from.
Ah.
I remember him saying...
I'm definitely going to have to try that, then. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Him finished season three last night. Now, season three was good. Season four, my favourite. I just think that what happens in the first two episodes is like, whoa. You might recognise one of the cast as well. Did you ever see McDonald and Dodds? I think I sent it to you. The guy in it who's called Jason Watkins. I knew I'd seen the face somewhere before. And then I remembered as I was rewatching Line of Duty. He's in it. He's in season four. You will love season four. Oh, the season four is just brilliant. They do things in Line of Duty that no other show does. I mean, this five-parter thing, if it ever comes on in the States, don't bother. It was shocking. Mind you, I don't think it'll go on anywhere now. You've got to pity the other actors, haven't you? Because they'll know there's no way they'll put that on repeat and give them any repeat fees. That will just go somewhere quietly to die. Shocking, though, isn't it? Anyway, the series wasn't really worth watching it. It wasn't worth 5 hours. Oh, Kim's really enjoyed the first three seasons. Oh, all right, yes. Madam. Do you want another one?
You've got two down there.
Hang on, just a minute. No, I put them somewhere, mate.
Oh.
Oh, what's Mummy got? Another one!
Don't want that second hand.
No, she's sniffing it. So hang on a minute. I've had this before. She's trying to palm me off with a second hand one. It's not second hand, Lola.
She's not second hand.
No, it's previously loved. Oh, yeah, that woman in the park that said to Mike, so she's second-hand, is she? Do you know, that's not unusual for some animals, though, is it, like horses? Yeah. There's a market in horses. I know somebody who lost her horse in lockdown, and she has very specific requirements because she's got a bad back. She needs, like, quite a slow horse. And she was buying this horse off this girl. And the girl was saying, oh, you know, he's quite gentle, you know, and he does this and does that. I'm thinking, well, why are you selling him? Oh, the poor horse.
You're not second-hand, are you?
She's not second-hand. She's previously loved. You're loved by everybody, you, Lola. You really are. Everyone has done some bad things, which makes it interesting. Oh, there isn't a straight one amongst them, is there? Can't wait for tomorrow night. I really can't. I am studiously trying to avoid anything that might be considered a spoiler. And it's a nightmare. It's on YouTube, it's on the news, it's on the front of the newspapers. You just can't look at anything at all. I am determined to make it to 9 o'clock tomorrow night with no spoilers, but that's proving more difficult by the second. Imagine getting the big break and
doesn't
the show gets
Class Report Club.
It does Class Report Club. I'm working on that. One or other's going to have to be time shifted. My money's on Book Club this week.
I'll say I can guess which one.
I did a 5 minute shift.
I feel sorry
week.
For the wee donkey.
The wee donkey.
The wee donkey.
Oh, that was just the best line ever. Oh, dear me. I totally agree with that, Dee. There must have been people who were in that. I mean, it's a big thing to them. And they probably told all their friends and family, and then they don't get to see the last one. But Tony's quite right. How many new sign-ups to the ITV Hub?
That happened to a guy who was in something that my dad was in. He had one line, which was probably similar to my dad. and he ended up on the cutting room floor.
I remember the one with your dad that he'd done the filming, hadn't he? And it was probably about 10 years ago. And we were having this chat with him, and he was talking about the last thing he'd done in Liverpool. And it was, what was it called? The Virgin something.
Oh, the Virgin Mary.
The Virgin of Liverpool, I think.
I think it was.
So it was just so funny, because he said he'd
Virgin
done this
of
thing.
There it is.
And we're like, oh, you know, what did you play in that? And he'd never seen it. He had never seen it. He said, I don't know if it ever came out. I thought, of course it came out. It must have come out. The stars that he reeled off that were in it with him, there was that guy, from the royal family and Brookside.
Yeah, Ricky Tomlinson. The whole thing's on Johnny Vegas was in it.
Yeah, Johnny Vegas was in it. Anyway, Mike's dad's... Try and find the bit where your dad's in it.
I can't even remember.
Oh, I can remember the bit. Can you not remember who he played?
He played a priest.
I think it was nearer the beginning than that. But the funniest thing was, his dad was in another one a while ago. What was the one with the Australian thing?
Families.
Families. If you remember Families, it was like a soap opera drama that went on for ages, about 3 or 4 years.
Jude Law was in it.
Jude Law was in it when he was a youngster, and I mean like 16, 17. And Mike's dad was in it, playing a priest, which I always said, you know, miscast much, he's Jewish. But he was playing a priest. And he was playing a priest in the Virgin of Liverpool as well. They just seem to pick him to play a priest, don't they? Oh, he did look good, though. He did look very good. I think he had one line in it, didn't he? Yeah. I'm sure some of what he did got cut.
Don't blink or you'll miss it.
Do you know the things that get cut is terrifying in these films? I was reading an article and it was talking about Line of Duty. And the one who plays Hastings was in Star Wars. I think it was Phantom Menace. And I thought, was he? I don't remember that, but then I've not seen Phantom Menace. But surely if it had been an actor that I knew, I would have clocked it. Anyway, it turns out he did all the stuff for it. And then he got caught. And they replaced him with Jimmy Smits. That's bad form. That is bad form. But yeah, he got dumped.
Nothing gets dumped out of Matt Bice, does it? Apart from the mistakes.
Only the teeth.
Oh, the teeth.
I thought Mike was doing so well.
I thought you were going to keep the teeth in, you know.
No, I took the teeth out.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking. Yeah, Mike stumbled at the end. He should have been saying, and you can follow Mac Bites on twitter.com/MacBites, but trust me, that was not what he said. So I saved his blushes and edited it out. Do you know, I would love to see the figures for the ITV Hub, because I agree with Tony. I think there's been shenanigans going on there. Hello, Pete. How are you doing? Oh, Tony says, is it how to take smart notes? Is it worth buying a copy? That's a tough question. It's a very, very good book, but it's very wordy. It's written by an academic and it's very, very wordy. All he is actually doing in the book is explaining a system. And the system isn't his system. It was a system from a sociologist in the 50s. Everything that's in the book is really good, but it's very wordy. What I would have liked him to do was actually give practical examples of how to deploy the smart note system. But he pretty much leaves it up to you. He just describes it. So from that perspective, if you wanted it as a handbook to deploy a system, I'd say probably not. But if you want background on the system, then yeah, absolutely, it's a good book. It's just very theoretical. I said the first time I did the book, which was around Christmas, that what I'd do is, you know, I'd do all the work and then I'll give you a summary of how, you know, how do you take smart notes, which I probably will. The reason that I've not done it up to now is, you know, now I'm in version 4 of the book club and I'm too busy doing it to actually make the notes. So I will cover it in the future for those who don't want to read it because it is very wordy. But if you're interested in the theory of it, then yes, absolutely. It was on a card filing system. It was. It's the guy who's written it is Zunker Ahrens and he is an academic. And he discovered this system that was created by a guy called Luhmann. Nicholas Luhmann. His backstory is fascinating, Luhmann. He was working as a lawyer. So he did have an education up to a certain level and he was working as a lawyer for the local municipality in Germany. And the whole family were big on public service. So that was why he was doing it. But his own fascination in his spare time, so like some people garden and some people glog dance, his thing was sociology, reading about it. And he'd done a lot of reading while he was actually working at this other job. And he knew somebody who was at the university in Germany. It could have been Berlin, but don't quote me on that. Somewhere in Germany. And he'd written this paper Luhmann had. But he had no training in it at all. No training in sociology whatsoever. He was just working for the local council in the legal department. And the guy he gave it to said, this is amazing. This is amazing. You need to do this for a living. But to be a teacher of sociology at a university, even at a school, never mind a university, you had to have education up to that level. So back in my day, it would have been O-levels, A-levels and a degree, and then maybe a postgrad in teaching. But he didn't have any of that. So they worked out that to get, and in Germany, there's another thing that you have to have, which is like, it's like a written piece. I don't know if you do any defending of it, like a viva or anything like that, but it's a long written thing, you know, thousands and thousands of words. So he hadn't done that either. So the guy worked out at the university that, you know, to go through this at a normal pace, if you say you took 2 years for your O-levels and two for your A-levels and 3 years for a degree and then a master's and then this teaching thing, it was like the best part of 12 years. So he said to the guy, you want to might try that. And I think he did the whole lot, everything that he needed to do in like 3 years or something like that. He ended up as a professor. And how he did it was this system. And the system is the German word for slip box, meaning a card index file, a box that you put cards in. And that word is Zettelkasten. So you will hear phrases in the smart notes world. Zettelkasten, Zettel, Zettling, Folgezettel. So there's a whole range of German words in terms of how he did this. But his system was totally paper-based. He even had special index cards made that were really thin. Because if you think of an index card, it's more like a thin cardboard. He had so many cards for his life's work that he had these cards made thinner so he could get more in the box. And one of
Is
the
that
things...
why Apple do it?
Probably. One of the things was... In sociology, there's this concept called the theory of society. And it's the most difficult thing in the world that you could ever attempt. So when he went for the interview for the job, you know, when he'd finished his training and he'd done this essay thing, they said, you know, what would your project be as you start? And he said, the theory of society. And they looked at him like, are you kidding? You know, that's not doable. But they played along with him and said, and how long will this take? And whatever. And he said 30 years. So he was really precise with it. 29 and a half years later, he finished that work. And this Zettelkasten, so his system of boxes with cards in, was how he did the whole thing. And all this book is, the Smart Notes, is explaining his system. The problem that you've got with that digitally, if you're trying to implement that digitally, is you are going to have to be more flexible. You're going to have to think, well, he did it that way. But I'm using fill in the blank, you know, Rome, Obsidian, Notion, Craft, whatever you're using, back of a fag packet. You're going to have to adapt the system. And that means that you could do with more description of it rather than a description of exactly what he did, a more abstract from it. So you could extract principle from it and then build it in whatever way suited you. I mean, you could say what I've got in Notion is a Zettelkasten, but in the true meaning of a Zettelkasten, no, it's not. It doesn't allow, unless I go looking for something, nothing's going to come up and say, hi, you worked on me 6 months ago, might be worth another look. That's not going to happen because Notion doesn't work that way. It's very structured. It's a database. If I want to know when did I cover the 1.9 updates to the Affinity apps, I will search and I will find the show, the after-hours show that I did it in. That's not quite the same as this system, this Smart Notes. For that, I don't think you can beat Rome. There is Obsidian and Obsidian's free. Rome most definitely is not free. You could force Obsidian to work like Rome to some degree, but not 100%. But I will cover it. And apparently Para's a thing as well. Zettel Ziffer in your mind. Well, when I go over it, I might be able to reprogram you. Who knows? So Tony says, file the info where you want to find it was what you took from it. Yes. If you were summarising it in one sentence, that would be it. It's You file things in a way that future you will discover them when future you needs them. Which takes a huge leap of faith right now. That takes a massive leap of faith. But I'll give you an example why it works. So I'm setting up my new Mac. This is last December. So if you were to say to me, when were you setting up your new Mac? I'd be like, okay, I know the day it arrived, but it didn't open it straight away. I don't think it got on the desk till the Monday. So we're looking around the 7th of December. Are you still eating that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, one more there.
She was licking the crumbs off the mat.
There's a red one. You're not bothered. Oh, I'll give it you anyway. See if you are. So I could probably, from memory, have pinpointed the day. But I have no idea what notes I made. I definitely made notes because I was going to talk about it in Mac Bites. But what kind of notes I made, I don't know. And where I put them, I don't know. Because when you're setting up a machine, by definition, you know, you've not got something in front of you that you can type into. So I might have written it in GoodNotes. I might have put it in Notability. I might have made notes in a paper notebook. I actually do have paper notebooks. No idea. Not a clue. What I've accepted now is that where they need to be is Rome. So what I did was I just thought, I wonder. So last night you guys were saying, oh, what's this colour app? And there's an issue with this colour app. And I couldn't remember all the details. I could have given you the crux of it, but I couldn't swear to all the details. Plus the fact, you know, that was 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And I would need to check it all, that what I'm about to say is accurate. So I thought, right, I do remember that I was going to do a comparison between all the colour apps. So there's about 5 apps and they let you manage colours. Years ago, it was really simple. Colour Schema Studio. It was to die for. There was only the one.
Yeah, you didn't even need anything else. That.
You see, if Mike uses it and it's to do with design, it must be good. And it died a sad death. It kind of withered on the vine. So at that point, I had to look at a lot of others. You know, you got to kiss all the frogs to find the prince. So I thought, well, I knew I'd made some notes on that. So I went to Rome and I thought, you know, just on the off chance. And I typed in something unrelated. And it came up and there was the notes I'd made on the 7th of December. And they were bang on everything I needed to know. And I thought, oh, my God, it works. You know, you put things in and you tend to be over-organising them. And you also, at the point you're filing them, you're thinking, how should I file these? You're not thinking, in what circumstance would I want to retrieve this? And that's the essence of the difference. Oh, in what circumstance would I want to retrieve this? And then you tag it up that way. I think if I was going to show it to you, I'd probably have to show it to you in Rome. But then maybe do a separate demonstration of how to do it in Obsidian, because that's free. You could try and do it in Notion. You could try and do it in Craft. To be honest, then not in the same league as Rome, which is probably why Rome is that expensive. But it works. It completely works. So now I'm sitting here and yes, I do still have post-it notes. They're my fleeting notes and that's allowed. But I do that purely because I've got 3 screens full of stuff that I don't want to disturb. But a lot of the time now, I'm bringing up Rome and I'm just typing it straight into Rome. So long way round. If you're interested in the history of it, do it, but you know, get the book. But if you're not, then I would settle for like somebody else's interpretation of it. So I'm having a look now at this link from Renee. Yes, I think that is, that's not Lumens. That is somebody who has adopted Lumens system. But, you know, I look at that and I couldn't work with that. I couldn't. It would drive me insane. I've done that for small things. So when I was doing, I think it was A-levels back in 84, we went on holiday to Dublin. And there's this great shop in Dublin town centre. They had these index cards that would have cost like 10 times as much in the UK. So I got these index cards. And while I'm actually on holiday, I was prepping for exams that were 8 weeks away. And I got these index cards and I started, they're all different colours. And I'm started making my notes on them. So I have done that on like a strictly, this is one subject, one exam. And at the end of it, they're going in the bin. But the idea of a Zettel Kasten is that it stays with you and it grows with you. Deb's got the Kindle version of the book. I had the Kindle version of the book, and I actually had it before book club. And I'd read it before book club. Then obviously I read it again in book club. I have marked it up in the Kindle. So in the Kindle, I've got an actual physical Kindle, which I prefer for reading fiction books. If it's non-fiction and I want to highlight, it makes more sense for me to do it on my 11-inch iPad. Just because the highlights are in the right colours, where they're black and white on my Kindle. And I'd put notes in myself. But because we're going through it in book club, I haven't done this for about 6 or 7 years. I thought, I really fancy the paperback copy. So I got it. And we all know now that it's now playing with my mind because the spine's the wrong way around. I'm going to have to fix it. But there's just something about the physical book. But like I said, I think that's because it's very academic. It's very dense. It could really seriously do with some diagrams. There is an entire site out there that is dedicated to showing you. Luhmann's own Zettel Kasten is now in a museum. So look, Luhmann's Zettel Kasten with a K. Right, let's see. There's some pictures of his. Now, we can get to the actual site that is his Zettel Kasten. Were there any pickies on there? There's one of his. Is that an image? Oh, I think it is. So this is actually, I'll put it up on Cloud App. This is actually an image of his cards. What they've done with it, and I do believe there were 60, 70,000 cards by the time he'd finished. What they're doing with them is they're scanning them. And if you look at that image that I've just put in, you can see how thin that is. It looks like tissue paper, and hence it being so jagged around the edges because it's ultra thin. They once they've scanned it, they're then indexing it. So they're actually translating it into digital form. The numbers next to it are what put people off. So he had his own numbering system going on. Because if you think about it, there's no way you could have like 12 topics that you're interested in and maintain those in a single slip box. But he also wanted to have links between things. So he didn't want separate Zettel Kastens either. He wanted one solution. And the way that he did it was with the numbering system. So you can see on the right-hand side of that, where you've got the index, that's his indexing system. And those numbers refer to where you'll find that in his Zettel Kasten. So it's like a cross-referencing system. But that's the part that the book explains and goes into detail on. That's the part you don't need now. Because if you're doing this digitally, you don't need that. Some people still put them in. Some people still insist on numbering. So they put the title in, and then next to it, they put all the numbers. And I'm like, why would you bother? Why would you bother? Because then reorganising it's incredibly difficult. But it is a leap of faith to take it and do that system with it. Right, let's carry on. They're already down. 6-1 the other way around. Who are they playing, Mike? Who's playing?
Tottenham and Sheffield United tomorrow night.
Oh, right.
Tony's a Spurs fan, and I'm saying that Sheffield United are already down.
That's true.
Up Blades. Mm. Up Blades.
You're going to have to explain that one. That's, do you know where the name Blades came from?
It's their nickname.
I know it's their nickname. Well, do you know where it came from?
They make cutlery in Sheffield.
Indeed, Sheffield Steel.
Yeah. There you go.
So they're known as the Blades. That's most unfortunate these days.
It's violent, that.
Imagine people.
What's his name? Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean, the actor who was in...
Goldeneye.
Yeah. He wasn't actually very well known, was he, until that?
Goldeneye?
Yeah.
He was in... was it Sharp?
Oh, it was Sharp, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah, it was Sharp, not Hornblower. That's the other fella.
He's got a tattoo. He's a big Sheffield United fan. And he's got a tattoo that says, Up Blades.
And do you know what's good about him? He's still got his Yorkshire accent. Right, let me just read that one. Hang on. I'm reading about the Blades here. Renee says, could do with a good note-taking system. I don't seem to stick to one system. Neither did I, Renee. That was the problem. Eventually, when I got Evernote, I thought, do you know what? Just put everything in Evernote. Put it all in Evernote. You'll find it. Put it in Evernote. Tag things. You'll find it. There's 13,000 notes in Evernote. I don't really even look at it anymore. Because what I tend to do with it, when you say notes, Renee, are these bits of information that you type in? Or is this stuff that you clip to Evernote or clip to OneNote or clip to something else? Because I was an inveterate clipper. It's like, oh, I might use that article. You know, that article has given me an idea. But the thing is, what I ended up doing was I would clip it. And if I ever wanted to you know, oh, and I'll go and write that blog post that I've been threatening for the last 6 months, I had to wade through the entire thing. So capturing a web page, capturing three paragraphs from a book, isn't actually taking notes. So the first thing in Smart Notes is you actually do need to take notes, not collect notes. You need to make notes. In fact, that there's a phrase, not be a collector, you need to be a connector. So I might see four different blog posts, and this actually happened. So this is a really good example. This actually happened. Mike and I were working on the review of the year. So I'm wading through. Let me see how many notes I've got in here. Oh, it's not telling me. That'd be grand as well, wouldn't it? It would be if it would tell me how many notes I've got, but it's not telling me. I think it's 13,000 in Evernote. But I'm wading through the review of the year. So I'm looking at all the links to stories about Apple. So you can imagine there's thousands of them. And I'm glancing through them. Do I want to talk about that? Do I want to talk about this? And I'm working my way through them. And I noticed a pattern. It was not articles that I would have ever picked to talk about. But because I was going through them all at once and not like week by week or month by month, I spotted a thread. And I then started going backwards thinking, hang on a minute. And it was a story that was seemingly unrelated to the second story and the third story and the fourth one. But something just triggered in my head and I could see a connection between them. Now, at that stage, I hadn't actually captured those at all because they didn't interest me. Individually, these stories did not interest me. But I could see a common thread through them. And then I'm interested. But the notes for those, if I was taking notes or making notes, depending on how you want to word it. Making a note to myself that I need to go back and check all of these stories for this common thread. You don't do that by collecting them, by capturing them into Evernote and saying, right, I've got them all now. Because once they're in Evernote, what links them together? Yes, you've captured them, but you've not done anything with them at all to make them useful. So instead of actually doing that, what I did, I turned it on its head. I can't even remember what the common thread was now. I think it was something to do with finance and Apple. But it wasn't finance in the way you would think of it. It wasn't, we've made more money than ever in the last quarter. But it was something financial. And I saw this thread. So instead of making 12 notes for the 12 stories that I saw, I made one note. And I put a question across the top. You know, how does this relate to that? And underneath it, I put all these links. And that was the note. That's all it said. Didn't need to say any more. But previous me would have been like, I'll capture that to Evernote, or I'll capture that to DevonThink, I'll capture it here, I'll capture it there. You know, and you are capturing these things, but not necessarily in a meaningful, useful way. You've just got random things that you will then look at in the future and you will say to yourself, why did I make that note? What was that all about? And you, because each of them is individual, you don't have the context where, oh, I know exactly why I took that, because I found 12 other stories that seemed to relate to it. And the question that I had in my mind was, and then in this note, together with the single question, and all of the references, it will have on it the date that the note was made, the time the note was made, what I was doing when the note was made, and why it interested me. And that's what they call a smart note. Going back up. Oh, Kim, you always say that, and you're not. You're not stupid, Kim. No. Right, let me go this down. I'm trying to get back to where I was now. One system is preferable, Renee, unless you're putting something in another system for a specific reason. So my Zettelkasten is in Rome, but everything else is in Notion. And I have no problem with that. Rome doesn't particularly share well. It's not really multiplayer. It's for one person. It's a very personal thing. I mean, when we get to book club, we talk about your Zettelkasten is your research partner. It talks back to you. I mean, obviously not physically, but I'm going to look up X and the Zettelkasten's going to show me X and it's going to bring up Y because it knows it's related to it. And if you structure your notes in terms of questions, then the Zettelkasten will bring up stuff that is potentially the answer. Notion doesn't do that. But Notion, if I want a database structure, Notion is perfect. So I wouldn't particularly want to put all the stuff that's in Notion in Rome. It would make no sense. But I never add an extra application or system to the overarching system unless it's got some value to do so. There's many people now that have adopted a similar kind of approach, particularly to medical studies. And now I probably see more videos suggested to me for medical students than I do law students. And medicine's different from law in a way that you have to internalise it, whereas with the law you can go look it up. You might be able to do that to some degree in medicine, but you know, not when you've got somebody in dire need of you in front of them. And the medical students are saying, I've given up making lecture notes. I don't make lecture notes anymore. You know, and I remember what I was like making lecture notes in law. It's like you never stopped. If you went into an exam, you would take like 20 extra ink cartridges with you because you knew you were going to have to write that much. But they're working a different way now, which, you know, time moves on, life gets better. And rather than just have random notes, they're working on a different system. I think you'd all enjoy it, but I think it might sound impenetrable. That's one of the problems. So Tony says, I use post-it notes all the time. Given last night's, why do I not rely on the side notes? I am moving away from post-it notes. I'll give you that. Yes, I'm moving away from them. But there are times when I've got that much going on my desktop that the post-it notes are still sat next to me and I would still use them. But the system of Zettelkastens has a concept of fleeting notes. And fleeting notes are, in essence, a post-it note. Just enough information. If you've got a post-it note and you need to know a phone number, somebody gives you a phone number on a post-it note, and you put the phone number down on the post-it note, you know in that instant that that is Fred's phone number and you've got to ring him because you need to measure up for a carpet. But will you know that 2 days later? Or will you gaze at it and think, what was that about? Because it's a fleeting note. You've not provided any context for it. Not every note needs context. Not at all. But those notes will just be got rid of. So, for instance, I have a post-it note on my desk right now. And I've got to do 4 emails. So I've actually written out what emails they are. And then I've put next to them how I'm going to do that. So I need Scrivener to do that. And I need to do it while I'm doing by request tonight. I do not want to be fiddling on my desktop because it's turned into the DJ system. I can't fiddle with it. I can't open another 3 apps on top of everything else. So that led me to think, right, okay, it's in Scrivener, so I'll do it on the iPad. But if I'm using my 11-inch iPad, then we need a keyboard. So I've just said to Mike, can you remember where that keyboard went? So having that note is a tickler note. It reminds me at that point exactly what I'm doing. But I guarantee you, 3 days from now, I'll be looking at it thinking, what was all that about? So the thing with fleeting notes is, and in my case, post-it notes, you got to process those straight away into something else and then get rid of them. And that could well be side notes now. There is a notes application within macOS, but I must admit, it's text only and it's not been updated since the year dot, and I genuinely don't bother with it. But if you would like me to go through smart notes and how they're made and all the rest of it, then I'm more than happy to do that. Kim says she's too stupid, but I don't believe it. The thing is with your attention span being too short, that's perfect. Many, many people have come to Obsidian and Rome and they say they're ADHD. and they can't remember anything 2 minutes together, and they want to flip from one thing to another. And that is what it absolutely excels at. So it might actually help you rather than being a hindrance. I appreciate your initial thought is, oh no, it's going to be a hindrance. But I might actually not be. And the smart notes thing is not like you've got to have this box of cards and you've got to have this thin paper and you've got to use this system. It's more a theory of, okay, let's look at notes a totally different way. Let me look at notes and think, how could I do it differently? You know, in what way could I improve this? And I actually think you can use whatever you want for it. It doesn't matter. It genuinely doesn't matter. So if it's something you're interested in, then I will cover it. I said I'll cover it. So that was a while ago and people were interested. So I will do that if you're interested. Every day is a school day. Thanks, Mike, with Elaine's help. I don't think him stupid at all. In fact, we did part of the quote from this book, the Smart Notes book, is the more intelligent you are, the more you question yourself. A poor student thinks they know it all because they don't know how much they don't know. But an intelligent student knows that however much they know, they have to be mindful of however much else is out there that they don't know. So the more you question yourself, Kim, the more intelligent you are. There you go. Don't you feel much better now? Oh, Deb read her sister-in-law's thesis on learning a second language as an adult. Very interesting. Other brothers on cinematography was absolutely boring. Rather stupid. I always think learning a second language is such a skill and not one that I would find easy. Mind you, maybe I've just not found the right way to do it. Maybe if you have the right way to do it, it would be easier. So maybe that's what I need. I know Rachel tried, is it Cervantes?
Yeah.
Well, she's pronouncing it Cervantes, but I'm sure Tracy said no. I'm from memory, Tracy said Cervantes. But don't quote me, because my Spanish is non-existent. I know more Norwegian than Spanish. But hey, yeah, maybe it's just the system, like being immersed in it or whatever works for you. I didn't actually talk about this in book club, but it came up in book club. The poor student and the good student. And I always remember the discussion got focused on people who were very, very good in school. And I always remember this girl who was very, very good in school. She was a straight A student. She remembered everything that she saw, photographic memory the lot. Could she speak a word of it when we actually got to France? She could speak it in England, but when we got to France, she completely bottled it. She ended up just stood there and couldn't buy anything. The first thing I got, I said, oh, yeah, come on, I'll sort it. And I thought, you know, I don't know the word for cake. I mean, I do now, it's gâteau. But I didn't then. I thought, well, it's fine, just point at it and ask how much that is. You know, it's not rocket science. But she totally froze, completely froze. Then the next thing she wanted me to buy was a salt and pepper pot. I'm not sure I ever knew the word for salt and pepper, and certainly not salt and pepper pot in French. I'm sure I didn't. But again, just point. Just point and smile sweetly and say, you know, I don't speak French very well, which is a phrase I do actually have. That's one of my best French phrases. I'm sorry, I don't speak French very well. And then proceed to speak French. And they, without exception, it's like, oh, bless. So it does, it works. I just need to find the right way to do it, the right way to learn. If you're quickly distracted, then making smart notes is even better, because when you add the context to the smart note, when you go back to it, you know what it was. So let's think about this post-it note with the phone number on. Put the name of who it is. Put down what you're ringing them for. That's context. That's it. It's that simple. But most people think, I've not got time to do that now. I haven't got the time. I need to do something else. So they put down the phone number and then 3 days later think, what was that phone number? And you ring the phone number, you say, hello. Oh, hello. Why am I ringing you? You don't know. What was the book club thing that you missed? Which bit, Tracy? What did you miss? The book's How to Take Smart Notes by Zunka Ahrens. And last week in After Hours, I actually showed you behind the scenes of Book Club, what it looked like in Rome and how we work. And it was brilliant because Carol Leather was there, who's in Book Club. And so I was like linking Carol and Carol was linking me and you guys were seeing it live, which was a good demo. That was a good demo. And then this week we were talking about the fact that I'd done the reading room, where I think we managed about 8 paragraphs again. We take it quite slow, what can I say?
4.5 minutes.
Okay, I've got the first one keyed up, I think. I'm interested in the second one. Loving the titles of these.
Are you interested in the second one?
Yeah, I like the title. I've not heard of that.
Have I? Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was a big hit.
Right, I'm looking forward to it then if I've heard it. I see you've taken it down to its base level.
Yeah. Well, yes. Everyone else had picked gardens and parks, and the one I was going to open with, somebody had picked.
You do know with number three that the Spice Girls did one call that as well.
No.
The Spice Girls did one call that.
We could play that later.
Oh, Nick Kershaw. I love Nick Kershaw.
That could be a quiz.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at what John and Petrina have put in, and I'm thinking, I picked that one, not at line six, but I picked the M People version.
Oh, well, I picked
Well. Well, we'll play that later, much, much later. Right, let me get through this chat, or we're never going to get through it. Hang on. Right. Kim likes side notes. Yay! I've already got down for next week workspaces, so don't worry about that. That's coming up next week. Renee takes notes while on the phone to use later in the work, not just to not find them anymore when I need them. It happens to us all, that's why you need the context. But how many people, when they're on the phone, instead of sitting and adding the context, you sit there doodling? If you're anything like me, I just doodle circles and stuff, which is useless later. So I should put the context down. That's important. Let me have a look.
Tony's already in the chat checking his song's coming up first.
Oh, crying out loud, Tony. Yes, yes, yes. Not our Tony, not Tony B, our other Tony, Tony P. Yes, rudimentary is a word. It means basic. Rudimentary notes. Yeah, that would be the same as a fleeting note. Just enough to get you back into the context to know why you made the note. Use it, throw it away. If there's anything that needs to be kept from that, then put it where it belongs. So if we take this note that I've got sat here on a post-it note, I need to write 4 emails. Right, those emails will go in Notion. So I don't need to put them in Rome or anything else because I'm never going to refer to them in Rome. But if Mike says, you know, what did you put in that mail when you sent to such and such, then that's where it would be. And I would know that it would be there. Class notes in dental school, vast and colour-coded according to topics. That sounds like my legal side. That's exactly what I did. Oh, I had all kinds of highlighters, different coloured post-it notes, flags, you name it, I had it. Still have a drawer full of those. Oh, I rebooted today, crying out loud. Right.
Minute and a half.
It's just logged me out. It's all right, I'm getting there, Mike. You know, Google, every time I need to do something, it logs me out. Just done it again. Good timing, Google. Note the sarcasm. And you've opened up at the wrong page. I was on a different page, for crying out loud. Right. So, Tony's using post-it notes. Try to use GoodNotes 100% without a time and date makes it hard. It does. Absolutely does. I can show you what I do in GoodNotes as well, which is slightly different. So, Mike, put down GoodNotes.
Put down good notes.
If you could make it help you with genealogy. Now, I looked up that, Kim, and there is a guy using it for genealogy, and it looked amazing. He had a whole, like, I don't know what you call them, like a family tree thing, but on it. So I will see if I can get any more information on that. When Kim lived in Japan, you would only say good morning, good evening, excuse me and thank you. You could count to 10. You travelled all by yourself through the country and you got along fine. Okay, we best say an out so we can get back in. So, for the moment, it is good evening from me.
And good evening from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.